Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Well, it's holiday season, ladies and gentlemen. What could be better than getting some Forever Chemicals delivered to you by your wristwatch? Smartwatches and fitness trackers have become ubiquitous forms of wearable tech. They may expose the skin to so-called forever chemicals in the process. Forever is not long. More expensive wristbands made from fluorinated synthetic rubber revealed particularly high amounts of one forever chemical, your perfluorohexanoic acid, according to a study published in Environmental Science and Technology Letters. This discovery stands out because of the very high concentrations of one type of forever chemical found in items that are in prolonged contact with our skin, says the author of the study. These are chemicals, PFAS, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. They're very good at two things: lasting seemingly forever in the environment and repelling water, sweat, and oil. Well, I do that. Because of the latter properties, manufacturers include these chemicals in many consumer products. Your stain-resistant bedding, menstrual products, and fitness wear, including smartwatch and fitness tracker wristbands. The bands contain fluoroelastomers, synthetic rubbers made from chains of forever chemicals to create a material that avoids discoloration and repels dirt. This durability makes the bands great for sweaty workouts. It might also present a source of these compounds to get under the wearer's skin. Literally. A team of researchers screened 22 wristbands from a range of brands and price points, most of them newly purchased, some previously worn. All of the 13 bands advertised as being made from fluoroelastomers contained fluorine. Two of the 9 brands that did not advertise being made from fluoroelastomers also contain fluorine, which indicates the potential presence of your forever chemicals. Of those tested, wristbands that cost more than $30 contained more fluorine than those under $15. So next time you're thinking of spending more money, next, following a chemical extraction, all the wristbands were checked for 20 different chemicals, forever chemicals. PFHXA was the most common. The concentration was nearly 800 parts per million, per billion. One sample exceeded 16,000. So get that on your list now before it's never too late. Also on your Christmas list, of course, something with AI in it. This is the AI, really the first AI Christmas. Medicine, like most fields, is transforming. Thanks to AI, a radiologist can identify fractures and other abnormalities from an X-ray. AI models, though, can see patterns that humans cannot. This is according to Dartmouth Health. But a study led by Dartmouth Health researchers in collaboration with Veterans Affairs Medical Center, published in Nature's Scientific Reports, highlights the hidden challenges of using AI in medical imaging research. The study examined highly accurate, yet potentially misleading results, a phenomenon known as shortcut learning. Using knee X-rays, researchers demonstrated that AI models could predict unrelated and implausible traits, such as whether patients abstain from eating refried beans or drinking beer. These predictions have no medical basis. The models achieved surprising levels of accuracy, revealing their ability to exploit subtle and unintended patterns in the data. While AI has the potential to transform medical imaging, we must be cautious, said an author of the report. Quote, these models can see patterns humans cannot, but not all patterns they identify are meaningful or reliable. It's crucial, he says, to recognize these risks to prevent misleading conclusions and ensure scientific integrity. Well, it's a miracle. Who would want scientific integrity? Happy AI Christmas, everybody. Hello, welcome to the show.
make him hurry till he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph, you're reeling like a merry-go-round.
It's the annual Le Show Christmas show, except not as canned as usual. Actually, almost live for your listening pleasure with some up-to-date stuff. So, for example, news of our friend the Atom. The Japanese government says it's going to decide by next spring on a plan for how to recycle or dispose of soil in Fukui Prefecture that was removed during the cleanup following the 2011 disaster. That's right, they haven't yet. Quote, "It is an issue that Japan should tackle as a whole," said the chief cabinet secretary, and I think he means whole with a W. About 14 million cubic meters, that's 500 million cubic feet of soil, is currently piled up with other radioactive waste at, say it with me now, an interim storage facility, because they don't have any other kind, near the Fukui complex, which was crippled by the earthquake and tsunami. You'll find this novel. The final disposal site of the soil is yet to be determined. Yeah, sounds like nuclear waste, doesn't it? Soil with high radiation levels that cannot be recycled. Here, have some almost hot soil. Is scheduled to be disposed of outside that prefecture under law by March 2045. But amid a lack of a roadmap, the governor of Fukui has urged the central government to make up a roadmap. Japan plans to recycle soil with low radioactivity, using it to form road embankments. Caution, hot shoulder, among other public works, to reduce the total amount of soil that eventually needs to be dealt with. So don't be pulling off to the side of the road in Japan anytime soon. And while we're on the subject of what's going on that's new and fresh and wonderful, there's crypto. The value of Bitcoin is soaring since the election of Donald Trump and the ascent of Elon Musk to the co-presidency. But the crypto winter continues. The community has received yet another reminder to stay vigilant in the bull market that's occurring now. A hardware wallet user has reported massive losses, which have been linked to a phishing attack. That's phishing with a PH. Ask your son. The crypto user, identified as Anchor Drops, took to the social networking platform X to report personal losses of 10 Bitcoin on their wallet. That's a loss of roughly $1 million. They lost another $1.5 million of non-fungible tokens stored in the same wallet. Fortunately, that stuff isn't worth really anything, so they didn't lose anything, really, except the numbers in the blockchain. The crypto community and Ledger have linked the incident to a phishing hack that occurred a few years ago, but only surfaced recently. So at least something lasts in crypto. And now let's get back to the holiday theme with our dear friend, the late, great Fred Willard.
Thank you so much, Harry. That's very nice. I'm humbled to be here. You know, occasionally this time of year, my friends will say to me, Mr. Willard. And they call me Mr. Willard because most of them have always felt a little uncomfortable around me. They'll say, what is the true story of Christmas? And I said, come on, everyone knows it. And I know we've heard it 1,000 times, but I think this is the time and the place. TJ, I think you're right on cue there. So bear with me for the 1,001st time. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Caesar's wife, the evil queen, spent her days shopping and looking in the mirror, saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? One day the mirror answered, it's your stepdaughter, the beautiful Maid Marian. The queen decreed that a hunter should take Marian out into the woods and cut out her heart. But Marian escaped, and a handsome prince found her slipper and followed her. He found her in a manger in Bethlehem, doing the only work she could do, scrubbing floors and taking care of a baby boy child named Jesus. But whose baby was it? Nobody knew. So, I know you've heard it all, but just... So the prince and Marian and Jesus went to live in the prince's castle and be happy ever after. But the wicked queen kept searching for them. And on December 7th, a day that will live in infamy, she captured Marian and Jesus and hid them in a cave. She left them one candle with enough oil to last for only 7 days. This was called the dreidel. Well, everyone went crazy. The birds were flying all over the place, and the Japanese were fighting the Germans. And the Germans were fighting the Russians, and Marian's little friends, Grumpy and Sneezy and Groucho, went to Santa's kingdom in the North Pole to get him to help. They thought he was dead, but a kiss from Grumpy awoke him. And it came to pass that Santa called out some reindeer, and together Dasher and Dancer and Donder and Blitzen, Sneezy and Grumpy and Groucho and Vixen flew to Bethlehem to try to save them. But lo, they couldn't find the cave. And you know where this goes. If you want to say it with me, please feel free. And it came to pass that Groucho's brother Zeppo had become an agent and enlisted the aid of Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer to lead them. Now a star shone in the east, and the shepherds were sore and afraid. And Franklin Roosevelt, a great man, calmed them, saying, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. They found 3 wise men and bribed them with gold and Frank's incense and myrrh, which is a drink of milk and honey, like mead. And the wise men pointed to where Jesus and Maid Marian were trapped. Well, together they huffed and they puffed and they rolled away the stone. And many people don't believe this, but you have to believe. They rolled away the stone, blocking the entrance, and saved them. And the baby Jesus came out and saw his own shadow. Heard it 1,000,000 times, but and he proclaimed there would be 6 more weeks of winter, and to this day, that's why the baseball season doesn't start until April. And the seven dwarfs chased the wicked queen back to her castle, and then Cupid shot her with an arrow, and she was filled with love and realized that being the second best-looking woman in the world wasn't all that bad. At least she believed she was the second best-looking. And after all, the mirror wasn't about to correct her. And Santa celebrated by going all over the world and giving out presents, and that's why we celebrate Christmas on December 25th. And as Santa flew overhead to the North Pole, he was heard to cry, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night." And everyone's heart from that day forward was filled with love. And that's why on the day after Christmas, department stores throw open their doors and offer great sales. It's a true story of Christmas. Thank you.
Nothing for Christmas. I've got plenty of stuff. I haven't got room for the things I own. Made up my mind. Enough's enough. I have over 3,000 records. My books alone would fill a moving van. So I don't want nothing for Christmas. I hope you'll understand. I don't want nothing for Christmas. I've got too many clothes. 25 sweaters and 30 ties. 40 shirts, don't need no more of those. I can't think of any good reason. I'd want more videos and DVDs. I don't want nothing for Christmas. Heed my wishes, please. Take the money you'd spend on a present for me and buy a beggar a meal, one he'll appreciate. Or you can stop by the house for a hug and a kiss. That would be great. Tidings for Christmas, nothing material, please. I'm more than happy with what I've got. I'm feeling good, my mind's at ease. We've all become too greedy. I don't care what our TVs say. Just spread your love to the needy. To have a great Christmas day. To have a great Christmas day.
are notes like nothing. Two's way too few. Each word needs notes from here to Malibu, running through the song line like a road in a springtime. Gonna sing to many notes.
Surplus my that's my gift to you. This
of the godly. What better time of year, huh? For decades, a little-known Christian sect has dealt with its abusive ministers and spiritual elders, mostly in secret, shunning legal action in favor of urging victims to forgive the predators in their midst. It's the worst place to have your predators. Forgiveness was far from a cure, according to the Associated Press. The abusers were often sent to live with other unsuspecting families, where they had easy access to new victims. Now, a grassroots effort by survivors has exposed the depth of the scandal, documenting allegations against more than 900 abusers in 30 countries, with cases continuing to emerge and thrust the nameless sect into the public eye. The FBI has also launched an investigation into the group, sometimes called the 2x2s. Well, we call the 2x4s, you'd know about them. The Associated Press interviewed more than a dozen current and former members, workers, and experts, reviewed letters, court documents, and other records supporting the allegations. Several sect leaders and ministers either declined interview requests or didn't respond to the messages. The core doctrine of the sect put kids at high risk. Insurance company Advisen lists child sexual abuse as the second most frequent insurance loss for religious organizations after wage claims. But survivors say the tenants of the 2x2 place kids at particularly high risk. The sect believes its volunteer ministers, called workers, should live among followers and rely on them for food, housing, and other needs. Many survivors told the AP they were abused by preachers staying in their homes. In some cases, the abuse was revealed. The offending worker was asked to leave the ministry. Frequently, however, regional leaders called overseers simply transferred the worker to a new region without warning other members. And the Michigan Attorney General this week released the fourth report in a series of investigations that state is conducting into abuse by Catholic clergy there. The Attorney General's report looks at reported abuse in the Diocese of Lansing. Previous reports examine abuse in the dioceses of Kalamazoo, Gaylord, and Marquette. As with the earlier investigations, the Lansing report looks at allegations of abuse dating back decades. The report includes allegations of sexual abuse and other sexual misconduct, including grooming and misuse of authority against minors and adults. A total of 56 clergy and religious in its report, including two bishops. More than 150 abuse allegations identified. The majority of the individuals on the list are known or presumed to be dead. Only of the remaining 19, just one, a deacon, is in active ministry. The vast majority of the alleged abuse occurred prior to 2002. That year, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops promulgated its, quote, Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People. Numerous allegations involve the alleged abuse of minors, while others involve inappropriate conduct or abuse of adults. One allegation involves a 5-year-old child. What do we tell the children? Be quiet. The prosecutor's office noted the prosecution of many of the allegations is barred by Michigan's statute of limitations. News of the godly, ladies and gentlemen. And now, I guess we're supposed to say it this way. Here is a tribute to the differently experienced helpers on a trip with the jolly old fellow this year.
Christy gnomes in the sleigh, in her best Christmas togs, she shot Dasher and Vixen. She thought they were dogs. Rudy Giuliani raised the holiday mood. He replaced Prancer. He killed him for food. Little Marco, oh, he's little no more. He didn't get a seat. No, he's plopped on the floor. He's writing out cards. He thinks that he fits in as he waits to take the old place of Blitzen. Santa's no longer the chief of the sleigh. His replacement wants folks who'll just do things his way. Santa knows this is no time for a grump, but this Christmas is just a few days away from Trump. It could be a sleigh ride that's everlasting on social and broadcasting. There's plenty of burgers. No need for fasting. The whole crew is straight out of central casting. Mike Huckabee has taken Dancer's old seat. Oh, he can't dance, but his guitar playing is neat. Rudolph is gone, he's a loser and a sucker. His red nose now rests on an elf called Tucker. Melania sent each kid a nice lump of coal. She didn't ride the sleigh, no, she stayed at the pole. Cash made a dash for Cupid's old shelf. He just came to fire old Santa himself. Tulsi's all palsy, she took Santa's big chair. Doesn't know where she's going, won't know when she's there. No doors on the sleigh, but there was just one gate. Donder flees yonder when she sees with her dough how he mates. Santa's no longer the chief of the sleigh. His replacement wants folks who'll just do things his way. Santa is riding on a clown car through space, barely concealing the look on his face.
Jesus was a dreidel spinner, and this we can't forget. Paul was Saul before he was Paul, and the Last Supper was a Seder. Jesus was a dreidel spinner, and all his disciples were too. So all you Christians, remember, your Lord was a Jew. So like the menorah, tents of a tree, give thanks to the wise men and the Maccabees. Jesus was a dreidel spinner, turned water into wine. He did lots of miracles, but he never ate pork rinds. Christmas is for
are dressed in leather, and the angels angels are in chains. The sugar plums are rancid and the stockings are in flames. There's a demon in my belly and a gremlin in my brain. There's someone up the chimney holding Satan is his name. And it's Christmas with the devil. Christmas with the devil. And don't you know that it is? It is. The rats eat all the presents and the reindeer ran away. There'll be no Father Christmas, cause it's evil's holiday. So come on, you unfaithful, don't be left out in the cold. You don't need no invitation, your ticket is your soul. I know that it's a Christmas with the devil. And don't you know that it is a Christmas with the devil. And the stockings are in flames. So come on, you unfaithful, don't be left out in the cold. You don't need no invitation, your ticket is your soul. Because it's Christmas with the devil. And don't you know that it is a Christmas with the devil.
Speaking of the evil one, that's just in, or he's just in. A judge this week sentenced, this is a more, last news of the godly, a judge sentenced a 93-year-old former Catholic priest this week to spend the rest of his life behind bars. 93, rest of his life, for raping a teenage boy decades ago. You've heard of his name on this program before. Lawrence Hecker, from here in New Orleans, had pleaded guilty to charges including first-degree rape, no defamation there, and aggravated kidnapping moments before jury selection was scheduled to begin. That comes as the Archdiocese of New Orleans deals with fallout from a wave of sexual abuse lawsuits and allegations that church leaders had long ignored predatory priests, leading to a long-running bankruptcy proceeding. Those are always good. And now, on a related subject, the apologies of the week.
So sorry.
The Secretary General of the International Biathlon Union apologized to any athlete who was mistreated during his tenure at the U.S. Biathlon while speaking to a meeting this week that focused on concerns about athlete safety. Those concerns were brought to light by multiple reports by the AP. Quote, "I appreciate anyone who comes forward with issues, especially issues of sexual misconduct, whether it's recent ones or old ones. I think it's an incredibly brave and important thing to do," Max Cobb said in his remarks to the U.S. Biathlon Association's annual meeting. Gee, I missed that. I had other plans. It was Cobb's first public statement since AP's report a week ago detailing how women said officials ignored or excused sexual abuse and harassment of female biathletes by their coaches and others over decades because they were more concerned about winning medals than holding offenders accountable. Sounds like gymnastics. The men involved climbed the ranks of the sport. The women, who described a culture of abuse dating back to the 90s, said they were forced to end their racing careers early. In case you didn't know, biathlon combines cross-country skiing with target shooting and cooking. No, just kidding. I can say personally I'm very sorry for any athlete who'd suffered any kind of mistreatment during my time working with U.S. Biathlon, said Cobb. He's now an official with the IBU, the worldwide governing body of the sport. Dateline Chicago, speaking of sports. Speaking of sports, Sammy Sosa appeared to acknowledge using performance-enhancing drugs during a career in which he hit more than 600 home runs. Chicago Cubs say they're ready to welcome back their former star in a statement released this week. Sosa said he is sorry for mistakes. Quote, "There were times I did whatever I could to recover from injuries in any attempt to keep my strength up to perform over 162 games. I never broke any laws, but in hindsight, I made mistakes, and I apologize." Unquote. Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts said the team is ready to move forward together with Sosa. Plans to invite him to the annual fan convention next month. Somebody's going to make some money signing autographs. And speaking of athletes, or former athletes, Dennis Rodman is responding to the critical remarks his daughter, soccer star Trinity Rodman, who knew, made about him as a father on a podcast. Recent episode of Alex Cooper's Call Her Daddy. That's a popular podcast, I guess. At least the mattress commercials are popular. Trinity Rodman said her NBA legend father has made headlines for decades for his wild antics on and off the basketball court, is not present in her life. "He's not a dad," she said. "Maybe by blood, but nothing else." Rodman said, quote, "Sorry I wasn't the dad you wanted me to be, but either way, I still tried, and I still try, and never will stop," unquote. In a response he posted to Instagram, NBC Philadelphia reached out to Rodman for comment, didn't hear back. The forward of the Washington Spirit, Trinity Rodman, said she's hesitated to speak negatively about her estranged father because she never wanted to make him look bad, but she wanted to paint a realistic picture of his role in her life. She said her dad abandoned her and her brother, DJ Rodman. Makes you wonder what he does for a living. After their mom filed for divorce from him in 2004. Finances, she recalled, at one point became so tight for the trio, they lived in their Ford Expedition. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
Direct from the patio of Mar-a-Lago, where the elite meet to eat and kiss my hiney. This is your favorite soon-to-be president again, with another edition of Truth Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Toothpaste. It gets your teeth whiter than Staten Island. Speaking of New York, has anyone in the fake media, or the fake anything else, noticed that Trump is now big in New York again? It's more amazing than Ivanka's behind, though I haven't seen it lately. Jared is busy helping to make Saudi Arabia great again for the first time. And I'm proud to say his dad is joining the fine people, the Peter Navarros of the world, who are going straight out of unjustified prison into my new administration. One person who's not going into my new administration, despite all the exaggerations of the exaggerations, is a certain Elon Musk, or as I call him, Ego Nuts. If you believe the Untruth Social, he's supposed to be my new best friend. Except for one thing, Trump has never been friends with eggheads and other members of the elite. In fact, I don't recall ever meeting the man. Maybe they're confusing him with Hulk Hogan, who I know well and is just as smart in his own way. If Ego Nuts is such a good friend, how come he doesn't have a parking space here at Mar-a-Lago? Oh, that's right. He comes in by spaceship. Let's put it this way. If Trump wants to be best friends with a brilliant businessman, all he has to do is look in the mirror. Talk to you next week.
Trump Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Chewing Gum, the gum that chews itself. So long.
I get the holiday fever now. Every time you walk by my house, yeah, you fire me up. Though a cold front is turning the weather, if Santa asked me for what I wish, I'd point to you and say, there she is. I've been a real good boy. Do you think we could get together? Got to get you under my tree.
Got to get you.
My backyard Christmas tree. Come rock the swing with me. Got to get you under my tree.
Got to get you under my tree.
Now you can tell I've been eyeing you, and I can see you've been eyeing me too. Let's celebrate the Yuletide getting and giving. We'll spike the eggnog, darling. Tis the season right here in New Orleans. Gonna raise a glass and toast to loving and living. Got to get you under my tree.
Got to get you.
Got to get you
tree.
Under my tree.
Got to get you.
What a lovely present this would be.
Finally, today, ladies and gentlemen, a study that stoked enthusiasm for the now disproven idea that a cheap malaria drug can treat COVID-19 has been retracted more than 4.5 years after it was published. This, according to Nature magazine, researchers had critiqued the controversial paper many times, raising concerns about its data quality and an unclear ethics approval process. Its eventual withdrawal on the grounds of concerns over ethical approval and doubts about the conduct of the research marks the 28th retraction for the co-author Didier Raoult, a French microbiologist who shot to global prominence during the pandemic. French investigations found he and his Institut Mediterranean infection. It's French. So that's why the word order is weird. Had violated ethics approval protocols in numerous studies, and he has now retired. The paper received more than 3,600 citations. It's the highest cited paper on COVID-19 to be retracted, the 7 most cited retracted paper of any kind. And of course, the drug at the center of the research was hydroxychloroquine. Later studies showed it had no benefit. This paper should never have been published, or it should have been retracted immediately after its publication, says Elizabeth Bick, a scientific integrity consultant in San Francisco. Because it contributed so much to the hydroxychloroquine hype, the most important and unintended effect of this study was to partially sidetrack and slow down the development of anti-COVID-19 drugs at a time when the need for effective treatments was critical, says an infectious disease physician who was not involved with the work or its critiques. Quote, the study was hastily conducted and did not adhere to common scientific and ethical standards. 3 of the study's co-authors had asked their names to be removed from the paper, saying they had doubts about its methods, the retraction notice said. Another 5 disagreed with the retraction and disputed its grounds. So that leaves just bleach.
A flu. Now what am I supposed to do? I can't even stand. My good friend Don, he put me every gland, protect it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show, our yearly Christmas special. Back next week with the year in rebuke. Hope you can be with me then or some other time. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead, to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans. Special thanks to Mike Dorsey for help with today's program. The email address for this broadcast. Your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts for, I guess, Valentine's Day. And the playlist of the music heard here on all at harryshearer.com, along with a lot of other stuff to read, listen to, and enjoy. And I'm happy to be on Blue Sky. And I'm still on Twitter at the Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans. Flagship station of the Change is Easy Radio Network. So long from the Crescent City.